Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1 is where we'll begin reading. Would you please read out loud with me down through verse number 4? So it's the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. We'll start at verse 1 and then we'll go down through verse number 4. I urge you to read and study the Bible, and we'll do that tonight from the book of Galatians. Would you read this out loud with me? Are you ready? Are you set? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. Well, let's lift up our voice to God and ask God if he won't help us on this evening. Father in heaven, Father of mercies, the God of comfort, I pray that, and I would invite you, please would you bless us. Please would you meet with us, Lord Jesus. Please would your spirit guide and direct and empower and work in us. Lord, I pray that you would put your spirit on me, Spirit of the living God, that you'd fall fresh on me, that you might, through me, convict, reprove, convince, comfort, exhort, and supply any need that is represented this evening here and in those who are not here but wish they were. And I ask that in the matchless name, the best name, for the sake of the name, Jesus. Please hear me. Amen. Thank you. You might have a seat. Now, last Sunday evening, we were downstairs and it was, I believe, 85 degrees last Sunday night. And now tonight, where I think it probably feels like about 65 right now, so it's about a 20 degree swing. Last Sunday night was that great theological treatise on life is a bag of potato chips. I'm sure you remember it well. And I was trying to come up with something else I could eat during the message, but struggled to do that with this text. But Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1 gives us a clear command: stand. The idea is to take a position, to take a public position, to stand. You know the great hymn, stand up for Jesus. Soldiers of the cross. And even if you stand for Jesus Christ, even if you stand alone, stand for Jesus Christ. Now notice it tells us in the book of God to stand. In the book of Ephesians it says, having done all, stand. The idea is to take a firm and fixed position. Now that takes boldness. It takes courage. It takes character to stand for Jesus Christ. But I would say this evening that I, my friend, want to stand for God in this wicked generation. And I want you to do the same. Stand for God in your place of work. Stand for God in your home. Stand for God in your neighborhood and on your street. Young person, stand for God and live for God in your school and your place of work, wherever it is. Stand up for Jesus. Noah stood. Noah and his family stood. You understand that most of the world was in wickedness except for Noah and his family. Noah found grace. Noah preached and Noah prepared that ark. He stood for God in the midst of that wicked generation because he had found grace. And I would say, my friend, even if in your family or among your friends, you stand alone, stand up stand up for Jesus. Hey, young man, stand for Jesus Christ in school. Hey, young lady, stand for Jesus Christ in school. Hey, sir, stand for Jesus Christ in your place of employment. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Do not be ashamed that Jesus saves. Stand up for Jesus. Now, here's why I think that you and I should stand. Because if I don't stand, then I will end up enslaved. Chapter 5 and verse number 1, stand fast in the liberty. Isn't that a great word? By the way, when the national anthem is sung, stand. Amen. When the national anthem is sung, stand. See, my friend, that flag over there is a precious thing this evening. Our nation is not perfect. But that flag over there does not represent just one president or one administration. That flag is not Republican or Democrat. That flag is a great representation of liberty. The colors represent something, some ideals that are neither Republican, independent, or Democratic ideals. They are biblical ideas. See, that's why it's called the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, engraved with Scripture. You see, my friend, this evening, if I don't stand, then I lose my liberty. Liberty can be lost. Jesus Christ has made us free. But I want to stand, because if I don't stand, then my liberty will be taken from me. Now, sometimes people lose their liberty all at once. But most of the time, here's what Proverbs warns us about. Move not the ancient landmark. Whew. See, a landmark is a boundary. It's a border. And in ancient Israel, they would have stones that marked somebody's border or property. And what your neighbor did, if your neighbor was a little bit shifty, and I could see that happening in our neighborhood, because I don't live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Well, your neighbor would come over and would move those stones a little bit at a time. Do you understand that your liberty can be lost just like your property, a little bit at a time? Not all of a sudden like some just great big bite of liberty is taken away from you, but a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. Here is why I don't want to lose my liberty. Here is why I want to stand. Here is why you want to stand for Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 2 of the passage. Because if I don't stand for Jesus Christ, Christ shall profit you nothing. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Think that statement over. If I don't stand for Jesus Christ, if I don't, like the apostle was trying to teach here, say, it's not ceremonies, it's Christ alone that saves. If I don't stand for Christ, well then, his coming from heaven to earth, it's no advantage to me. If I don't stand for Jesus Christ, if you don't stand for Jesus Christ, then his being born in Bethlehem, it's no profit to you. It's no advantage to you. If I don't stand for Jesus Christ, then his battle in the wilderness with hunger and terrible circumstances and evil himself, well then, that doesn't advantage you. It doesn't advantage me. If I don't stand for Jesus Christ, then, well, my friend, the nails in his hands and feet don't profit me. Christ shall profit you nothing. Don't be wishy-washy for God. Stand. Don't be half-hearted for God. Stand. Don't be wishy-washy about the Bible. Stand. Don't be wishy-washy about church attendance. Stand. Stand up for Jesus. Because if I don't stand for Jesus Christ, Christ shall profit me nothing. Whew. That means that the empty tomb, remember John ran to see the empty tomb, and he looked in, and Peter ran right past him and went in, and he saw the grave clothes all folded. That's why you should make your bed in the morning. And the napkin folded by itself. Biggest event in world history, and Jesus made his bed before he left. But all of that profits me nothing. It profits. There's no advantage in it if I don't stand and take a position. Now, here's another reason to stand. Because chapter 5, verse number 4, do you see this passage? Ye are fallen from grace. See, either I'm standing or I'm fallen. There's no in between. Now, when it talks about fallen from grace there, it is the idea that they've turned their back on the grace of God, turned their back on all God's great kindness, and now they are fallen. See, this evening, it's easy to look at life and say, well, I don't have what other people have. But if you're standing for Jesus Christ, you're not a failure. You're not fallen. If you're standing for Jesus Christ, the apostle wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, having done all, stand. You see, either I am fallen this evening or I am standing for God this evening. Either you tonight are standing saying, the Bible is true or the Bible is fables. Take a position tonight. Stand for Jesus Christ or else I am fallen. Let's move on to chapter 5 and verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Stand for Jesus Christ, that it isn't ceremonies. Whether it was that Jewish ceremony, or whether it's a Protestant ceremony, or whether it's a Baptist ceremony, or whether it's a Roman Catholic ceremony, stand for Jesus tonight, that he alone saves. That there are no amount of candles that you can light that are going to forgive my sins or your sins. Jesus alone saves. And the only thing that, you see verse number 6, avails, counts, matters, is have you been made new in your heart? Is your heart a heart of faith? Does your faith love? Does your faith work? I talked to a man this morning before he was baptized. And I said to him, sir, I want you to understand that getting in this baptistry and getting baptized here this morning does not in any way wash away your sins. That the only thing that counts with God is, have you been born again? Have you received Jesus Christ? That is all that avails in the sight of God. Stand for that gospel this evening, my friend. Stand up that it isn't laws and ceremonies and church membership, but it is just simple faith that practices love. Look at verse number 7. Stand for Christ because, well, verse 2, if I don't stand for Christ, he profits me nothing. If I don't stand for Christ, well then, I'm just falling for anything. Verse number 4. If I don't stand for Christ, well then I've turned my back on God's kindness and his grace. Stand, verse number 7, because to not stand is to stumble. Do you see verse number 7? Ye did run well. You were doing so well. Who hindered you? Who tripped you up? Who made you fall flat in your face? Who caused you to disobey? Stand, even if others are trying to get you to stumble in your race for Christ. Stand up, even if others are trying to get you to stop in your race for Jesus Christ. Stand, don't be someone who stumbles over the stumbling blocks that the devil will place in your ways. Look at this, chapter 5 and verse number 8. Stand fast, take a firm position. Because chapter 5, verse number 8, either you are making somebody to stand or you are making somebody to stumble. Do you get that tonight? You see, this persuasion, there were people who were teachers that were trying to persuade these churches, what Paul taught is wrong and what we're teaching is right. But Paul is saying, those people that are persuading you, that's not from God, that's not from Christ, that's not from the truth. They are trying to persuade you to stop your race. Move on to chapter 5, verse number 9. First of all, stand, because standing is the way to stay free. Stand, because if I don't stand, verse number 2, then all that Jesus did will not profit me. Stand, because if I don't stand, then I'm fallen. Stand, because if I don't stand, then I've turned my back on God's kindness. Stand, because if I don't stand, well, that means somebody made me stumble. Stand up for Jesus, because people that are trying to persuade me to stop, my fallen nature that tries to persuade me to stop, is not from God or the church or good people. Next, verse number 9, stand, because a little sin can ruin you or me. A little sin can ruin you or it can ruin me. It doesn't take a big crowd of friends, young people, a big crowd of wrong friends to make you mess up. One friend can do that. One friend can do that. It doesn't take a bunch of nights of riotous living to mess up your life. One night can do that. Stand for Jesus Christ, because it's a little leaven. You know what leaven is, right? Yeast. Now I got to tell you my baking story. I'm an expert baker in my own mind. I felt a ripple of unbelief just go through the crowd. A couple years ago, I was determined to win the baking contest for the winter picnic. We have that winter picnic and we just protest winter. By the way, I've read the Farmer's Almanac. Get your snowblowers ready. We already sang Whiter Than Snow. I know we sang it this morning. I think Josh sang it this morning. Some song about snow, and I'm thinking it's going to snow in October. You can thank me later. I'm a prophet. But, so that winter picnic, I was going to bake something, independent of any woman's help. So I went in the kitchen. Well, first I went to Martin's. And I walked down the baking aisle, and I found a picture on a box that looked good. Because surely what's in that box I can put together and make look like what's on the outside of the box. Yeah, right. What's in the box didn't end up looking like what was on the outside of the box. They weren't these fluffy, beautiful muffins with like this volcano of perfect chocolate coming out of it. But bless God, I wasn't going to have Tracy's help in this. I was going to claim this prize all for myself. So I mixed that stuff together and mixed it together. And she went shopping or something like that. And I put it in the... You weren't home. So it had to have been shopping, right? So I put it in the oven. And my head was, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I was confident. With my puffed up ego, this is going to be a winner. Ding! The bell goes off. I go over. Kids gather around. This is my masterpiece. Open the door. Began sliding out the muffin tray. The reaction was just what Cody is doing right now. It looked like the tin had thrown up. And it was chocolate just everywhere. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. See, I don't know if I use baking soda or baking powder. Hey, it says baking on it, all right? Baking is baking. Soda, powder, soda. Yeah, kind of tastes the same. Just throw it in. One wrong friend. James, you've seen it. One wrong friend. One bad night, one episode of sin. That's why you got to stand for Jesus Christ. Because a little sin can ruin the entire life for God. And finally, chapter 5, verse number 11. Stand for Jesus Christ because of the offense of the cross. Verse number 11. The offense of the cross. People get offended by the cross. They get offended by Christ crucified. That's an offense, an upsetting thing to them. Take your Bible and turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians. In closing, take your Bible and find the book of 1 Corinthians. And chapter number 1 and verse number 22. As long as we talk about God, everybody's fine in the public square. Now, there are some that are offended by the idea of a being such as God. But when you mention what the apostle preaches there, the cross, people get offended by that. Chapter number 1 of 1 Corinthians, and look at verse number 22. The Jews, you see what we're reading? The Jews require a sign. They want a sign that the Messiah has come. A sign is some kind of miracle. By the way, they had all kinds of signs. They just didn't pay attention to them. The Jews want a sign, some supernatural Messiah that's going to ride on a horse and conquer the world's armies and exalt them. And that will happen one day. That's a prep for Revelation chapter 20 on Wednesday night. That will happen one day. But what did Paul say in verse number 23? We preach Christ crucified. A crucified Messiah? A Messiah that dies on a tree like a felon? A Messiah that dies stripped of his dignity and his honor? That dies like a slave and a felon? That's a Messiah to the Jew? That's an offensive thing. Now, it goes on in that passage. Verse number 23, to the Greeks, that's foolishness. Because verse 22 says the Greeks seek after wisdom. They want some great philosophy. But Paul's message is not some philosophy. Paul's message is a cross? A crucified Messiah? A dead Christ? What kind of hope is that? Because there's an empty tomb, my friend. And here's what I'd urge you to do this evening. Stand for the cross. Stand for Christ crucified. Because it is an offense to the world. But it's what saves you and me. And my friend, if it wasn't for that cross, my soul would be bound for hell, and so would yours. Will you stand this evening? No, I don't mean physically. I mean, take a position. Because if I don't take a position that the Bible's true, that God is real, that Christ is crucified, then what will happen is I'll lose my liberty. Christ will have no advantage for me. I'll have turned my back on God's goodness and his kindness and his grace. And instead of, if I don't stand, I don't mean stand up. I mean, if you and I don't take a moral, spiritual position, well then, I'll be laying flat and I'll be falling. I'll be a stumbling block. But most of all, I will be saying, God's biggest work that he did, it's something I can just turn my back on and walk away from. That cross is really meaningless to me. And there's some people that are like that tonight. But there are other people that they can sing the hymn. Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon that tree? That's amazing pity. It's grace unknown. It's love, love beyond any degree. Will you stand for the cross this evening? Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. AC, if you would come. And in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I want to ask you this evening to take a stand. Take a stand for right and against wrong. Take a stand for truth and against error. Take a stand for godliness and against sin. Take a stand tonight, I beg you. Take a stand that the Bible's true, that what its pages teach are right. Take a stand tonight. See, if you'll take a stand, you'll remain free. But if you won't take a stand against sin, my friend, here's what I'm warning you. Here's what I'm warning you tonight. You will end up in captivity, enslaved, enchained, behind bars. And you'll sit there and you'll say, how did I lose my liberty? Well, you lost it because when you had it, you didn't take a stand. And then that means if you're not standing, you're fallen. Let us stand together. The music will play. If God has spoken to your heart this evening, I urge you to come and to kneel and say, God, help me to stand.